Let's start off by talking about that. You're attending a major city council, mayors, small towns?
Well, it's everybody. So Indiana Association of Cities and Towns, everybody that's a member, which is most of the municipalities in Indiana. So small towns to Indianapolis will be represented there. It's a three-day conference, and we have a lot of workshops and things and talk about a lot of trends, and mayors and others share things. And it's always worth the time to do it, because a lot of us, you know, we don't have time to reinvent the wheel here. So you want to hear about what things are working or not working in communities. And so that's what we spend a lot of time just kind of getting up to speed on how we're dealing with the changing environment out there.
What are some of those main topics that you like to discuss when you head up there with other mayors?
Well, you always have lots of discussion about annexation and where the state's going with that, or not allowing you to annex, TIF districts, just funding sources in general, road funding. There's a variety of topics, abandoned housing, meth, you know, production. We're all concerned about those issues in our community, and so we try, we will vote on a platform that we'll work with the legislature, but we'll all try to really share about success stories and what's coming in their area that may be coming our way, and kind of just trying to be in a good position to better run our cities and towns.
And it's budget time. It's still budget time. It's always budget time.
It seems like it never ends.
You handed the budget over to the city council Thursday. I believe any changes you expect the council to make?
Nah, not really. I mean, yeah. I would be surprised if they would, because if they make any cuts to the budget, that means we're going to have to let some people go. And I just think that's a bad way to approach this. Our biggest change to the budget is really just adding the costs in for the election next year. If we didn't have to put that $650,000 into budget, it would have been really about the same budget as we have for this year. So that's the big ticket item that made it go up a little bit.
The public also has a chance now to look over that and make suggestions. Is that true too?
Yeah, well, the first step is there's a public hearing. So the budget's been advertised in the newspaper. It's available, you know, for people to look at. And then they can come and make some comments on it. There won't be any significant discussion yet, but they have a public comment period. And then we will have the budget hearing meetings with our department heads. The public is obviously welcome to come to those. And then the council meetings that are scheduled in October will be specifically to approve the budget. So there'll be multiple opportunities for the public to ask questions or get a better understanding of our proposed budget.
So is the 2015 city budget, percentage-wise, is it an increase from this year?
Yeah, it's an increase. Well, there's a couple reasons, though, because we have to ask for the maximum levy. So we increase it by the amount that the state allows us to, the maximum levy amount, the growth quotient, in which most municipalities and school corporations, everybody else does that, so they can retain the property tax dollars they have. But the big item in there is for the expense of the election next year, the local election.
Sure. So now that you've had to add that in, was there any way that you had to find either new revenues to cover that, or are you cutting other spending?
Well, we've cut some other things in order to pay for some increases. But yes, we've got some new revenues that we're lining up, and I'm going to be really excited to share that in the near future about what it's kind of look like. We'll have some of that this year, we'll have some next year, and we'll have some recurring revenue from that point on. That'll help us narrow that gap.
Sure. I was looking over the Trib Star, where Councilman John Mulliken was quoted as saying that this was another year of deficit spending. How would you respond to that?
Well, he's just basing it on what he knows, I suppose. He hasn't come and asked me any questions about the budget or how we're funding it or how we're going to finish this year out. You know, most of this stuff is just purely politically driven. The ones that speak out refuse to come in and talk to me about it, so they just speculate and come up with their own things, and that's what he's responding to. So I'm feeling much better about this year every day that we go by.
Now, this is for the general fund,
right?
The budget, and I think sometimes it's easy for residents to get confused, especially with things, for example, like utilities, things that people pay for. That's separate, correct?
Totally separate, and it is confusing to people, because if you don't dig into this a little bit, it is hard to understand. We've got a roughly $90 million budget this year, and the general fund portion is about $33 million of that. And of that $33 million, 78% is police and fire. So it's a very small percentage of the rest of it. And then you've got other departments and other things that are separate of that, that's funded separately. And so the only area where we're struggling with is the general fund because of the property tax caps. And so that's the area we continue to work on, and that's the area that we will get figured out here very soon.
Financial consultants still working out okay with the city?
I guess you'd have to ask the council that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, you know, we get questions periodically directed to us that we answer. So I know he's at work for them. I guess we'll have to see as we move through this budget process to see how valuable that is to them or not.
I also came across where the Vigo, this is the County Plan Commission, giving somewhat of a recommendation for a new technology or industrial park. How does that, and that's a term that we hear a lot, these industrial parks coming up in different cities. Is this a good thing for Terre Haute as well?
Yeah, I believe that it is. Anytime you can have a vast, you know, very large, many acres of property available for development, that's a good thing. And I know there was some feedback from the residents down there because it's been farm ground and it's some reclaimed mining land too. And, you know, here's an opportunity. We have an industrial park in the south part of the county, and it still has space in it, but it doesn't have an unlimited amount of space to it. And so this is a private developer who's creating this situation where he believes he can be successful with it. And we as a community need to make sure we're pointing people at every opportunity that there is, because some pieces of ground isn't just what they're looking for, but if you can give them multiple options, that helps us keep them looking at Terre Haute much longer. And I think this will be a positive thing, you know, when we, as it develops and it's more marketable.
How does the city and county work together to bring companies like that to fill up an industrial park?
Yeah, that's a great question. The Terre Haute Economic Development Corporation does that on our behalf. So the city and the county are both financial contributors to that entity. We both sit on the board, the executive's board of that organization. And they do that major industrial type of work for us. And so they're working with the IEDC in Indianapolis all the time. When requests come in, they handle that, they respond, and then they bring us local folks in, whether it's in the city or the county, then to talk about local incentives once it moves to that point. So it's a team effort, clearly.
Have you heard of this new ride-sharing program called Uber?
Well, just a little bit. I really don't know much about it at all. I mean, I caught something in the media, and I really didn't have a chance to understand it of exactly what it is.
Yeah, well, and they're starting to expand. They're just now hitting Bloomington and Lafayette and South Bend. Of course, they've been in the bigger cities now for a while, but there's a little bit of controversy because some city leaders aren't too pleased because they see themselves more as a local contractor rather than a company, like a local cab service. And so they feel like they don't have to follow a lot of the city ordinances, if there are any, for cab companies. Does Terre Haute have ordinance for...
We do. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, none of us want to discourage business from growing and expanding and doing creative things. That's all... The more things the private sector can do, the better. I mean, it really helps us balance our budget and everything else. When it comes to transportation needs, you know, you have to have some rules in place for things because you want to make sure things are safe and people, there's some guidelines to it. And we've had a taxi ordinance for many years here. And, you know, people try to work around it. And part of it is just to keep their costs down a lot of times. They just want to be able to provide a good service. And so we really haven't been pushed or had to look at anything specific. Our local cab company was purchased by a group out of Bloomington recently, so I'm sure that changeover is occurring as we speak, and I'm sure that there'll be other entities and business opportunities that'll come around where people will try to find a niche market, and we'll work with them because, once again, you know, we really want them to be successful. You just have to have some rules and guidelines in place to ensure the public is dealt with properly.
Yeah. What are just some of those rules or guidelines that are set for cab?
It's making sure that they're safe. You know, it's making sure that, you know, the charges are legitimate, that you can't overcharge people. I mean, they're just the basic guidelines to ensure that the business is run in a way that they don't take advantage of the consumer.
We just see recently that the appeals court uphold the Indiana's right to work law. Which bans union contracts that require non-member fees, you know, to pay fees for representation. Does the city have any, or yourself have any updates on what that means for Terre Haute residents?
No, I don't think so right now. I think if you know, it's kind of like a ping pong ball there. You know, you talk about putting it in, had the big fight, it became law. Then some judges out there decided it was not constitutional. Now the appellate court has stepped in, and I, you know, it'll probably end up at the state Supreme Court level, I'm sure. We just need to get it right. I mean, if it's either okay or it's not. And sometimes these things just drag on for so long that people get lost in all that. And really, I don't think, I'm not hearing a lot about it. So I think there's still both sides continue to fight for there, either to get rid of it or keep it. And I think you're going to continue to see that battle go until the state Supreme Court eventually rules or in some way, because I'm sure it'll be appealed. You know, it's going to continue on. And so all I want to do is resolution. I'm not one for dragging things out. You know, it's the law, it's not the law. Tell us what it is and we will follow it. We'll do everything we're supposed to do. And some of these just kind of, they have a life of their own sometimes, and we just need closure on that.
Another thing that seems to keep coming up, I keep reading about, is a statewide water plan. And the Indiana Chamber of Commerce had a report recently about the need for a state-driven water supply plan for, and this is long-term, you know, next 100 years or so. Where does Terre Haute fit into that?
Well, you know, we have, our water supply here is excellent because we're right on the river. They have deep wells. Indiana American Water serves our community. Sealyville Water, a small community, the east side serves part of Terre Haute. And both of them have tremendous water supplies and really feel are on a major aquifer. And it's just, they're in excellent shape for many, many years to come. But there are a lot of areas in the state that have issues with and believe that the issues are going to become greater as we move forward. And so from Terre Haute's perspective, I just want to understand the conversation, exactly what the state is going to do, how this plan will be. You know, it's always important on how you, what data you put in and in the beginning, because that drives the process. And so I really don't, this hasn't been one of my hot topics, so I don't have a lot of specific details about what's the timeline to get this completed, and then how will we begin to do projects or put laws in place to ensure that we have an adequate water supply. For businesses to grow, you gotta have water. It's just one of those things. And you see California struggling every day with providing water for industry, and let alone people who live out there. You know, you don't want to get to that point, and not that the Midwest is even close to anything like that, but I think you have to be prudent, you have to be proactive, and this is one of those things that it'll be interesting to watch as this develops. And so I just mainly, I'm more in a cursory watching it mode right now, because I feel really good about our water supply here in West Central Indiana.
And we've talked to you before, and it's been a while since we've been over to the treatment plant too, but you've been putting a lot of infrastructure and upgrades into the, is it the wastewater treatment plant too?
Absolutely.
How's that coming along?
It's still going very well. We've got about another year's worth of work, but a lot of the big stuff has been at least built now. And so slowly, as we move forward, we bring pieces of it online. And every time we do that, it just means there's less dirty water going into the river. And it's a timely question, because we just had a rate increase, you know, that was scheduled. We've set it several years ago, and you immediately get some pushback from the community about, where's my money going? Well, it goes to meet these EPA guidelines. We have no choice but to fix this problem. And those rate increases go directly to that work being done at the plant. About $130 million being done down there right now, or in some part of that process. And over the next, you know, 15 years or so, we're going to do another $100 million outside of the plant. All that driven by the EPA and the guidelines that we have to. We don't have a choice. We have to meet these guidelines. And what that means is a cleaner river. We get rid of the smell at the treatment plant. We're able to handle more capacity. So all the positives that the ratepayers are paying for will definitely, you know, take. That's what they're paying for, is to get those pieces in place.
Lastly, I see where Terre Haute is gaining some national news attention about a high five record. What is that all about?
Well, we wanted to do something for the kids here locally. You know, it was a kickoff for the United Way campaign, basically, for our this next year. And we gathered a lot of people into Holman Center last week, and were able to set the record, the Guinness Book of World Records, for the most high five participants in a single event. First of all, I was happy that we were able to get that many people there. You never know. You know, you put out all these invitations and ask all these people to come and support it, and we had over 1,600 people show up to participate in this. It only took about 30 minutes. They told us it'd probably take an hour and a half or 2 hours to do that. It only took a half an hour. Got our results back. You know, they have to go through because they had somebody from the Guinness Book was here to make sure that they were all legitimate high fives. You had to hear them. They had to be direct hits. If not, they didn't count. And so as they went through this line of people, it was a lot of excitement in the room. It was just fun. It was something really positive to do and to support the United Way. And just, you know, once again, it's about the kids. It's about doing anything we can to raise awareness about all these agencies and what they do. And it was just a really fun thing to do in our community.
What else am I missing?
Budget's the big thing.
Budget,
right here,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
Really, you know, there's a lot of projects, road projects going on. We're beginning to wrap some of those up now, which is a good thing. But the budget is always a challenge every year because it's a long process. And we're kind of at the beginning stages now. And as we said earlier, we're going to be having these public hearings. There'll be council meetings with our staff and then public council meetings. Well, both are all public, but specifically for the budget. And, you know, people should come and ask questions because there's a lot of misinformation out there. We've got a lot of political people saying things that simply aren't true. And I think the facts are what's most important. So if you're interested and you have a question about that, you should call me or you should come to one of those meetings and ask your question so you can better understand that. What people really need to know, though, is in the city of Terre Haute, you're paying about $11 million less in property taxes than you were in 2008, 2009. So anything we do to raise the budget, you're still saving over $10 million a year than what you were paying before. And so the taxpayers have benefited greatly from these caps. It's just it makes it difficult for us to keep delivering the same level of service. Those same people that are saving all that money still expect the same level of service. And we've been able to guide through that and maintain that. That's what I really feel. That's the real story here.